Yeah, I want to praise the Lord for what we heard this morning. It's good for us to learn from this church at Thessalonica. This church was started by Apostle Paul, and because he got into trouble, he had to leave them and go to some other place. But Apostle Paul was a true spiritual father, and he was concerned as to how they are doing. He was not like today's evangelist who just preach and go away to some other place. After he preached the gospel, because they persecuted him, he had to go to some other place. And he says he could not bear to see how is it going with them. And therefore, he wrote two letters, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. These are called letters of encouragement. You know, you don't find so much of doctrine in these two letters. As a father, he wrote to encourage them and bless them. And you know, this church was appreciated by Apostle Paul. I don't think Apostle Paul would have easily appreciated any church. But this church, it had some remarkable qualities that made an impact on others. So this morning, let's look at this church, brothers and sisters. We already heard from Brother Stephen how they turned from idols to serve the living God. We already heard how they were very receptive. And they were examples, they reached out to others. And one more beautiful thing about this church, this church didn't think, oh, this brother Timothy, he's a young brother. Who is he to tell us? No, when Paul sent Timothy to encourage them, they valued a young brother like Timothy, because I think they were humble. They didn't say, we listen only to Apostle Paul. No. Timothy was, even though he was young, he was a co-worker of Apostle Paul, and they valued Timothy. And not only that, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Apostle Paul boasted in this church. That means it must have been really a good church. And I want to highlight three things this morning from this church, brothers and sisters. Chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. You know, when Apostle Paul, he loved this church so much, he thanked God for them, he prayed for them. And when he remembered them, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. He says, in every place your faith to God is spread abroad. Everybody was speaking about the wonderful faith Thessalonians were having. You know, today most churches across the world, you know what they boast? We have a grand building. We have a grand choir. And we get so much offering. And we are getting thousands of people in our church. If Apostle Paul went to all those churches, he wouldn't be impressed one bit. But this church, he said, your faith is being spoken of everywhere. I praise the Lord for this church. And you see in chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, see, when Apostle Paul had to go away from Thessalonica, and he says, we couldn't endure. We wanted to know how it was going, so he sent Timothy to establish them, to encourage them concerning their faith. Apostle Paul was always worried about the faith of people in the church. And verse 6, he says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith, Timothy came and told Apostle Paul, the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, they're remaining in faith. Oh, that encouraged Paul. You know, they received faith, and their faith helped them to endure trials. So many people know, small trials, they can't endure. You know what they say? Why, brother, God has allowed this in my life? That shows you don't have faith. So many people today, small mosquito bites, they can't bear. The Thessalonians, they were enduring persecution. But I find so many people got complaints against the Lord. Some people ask, why this for me? And some people are saying, why is it that nobody is coming and visiting me? They got complaints against God and against others. Brothers and sisters, as your faith helped you to endure every trial, God in His wisdom has allowed us to go through many, many trials. Can you say the word of God I heard in the church has given me faith? I know in our church, I know brothers and sisters going through many trials and difficulties. Some of them are doing very well. I am proud of them. I praise the Lord for brothers and sisters who are enduring many trials, enduring in faith, without questioning the Lord, without going discouraged. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. You know what Apostle Paul appreciated in this church? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. What a fantastic church! Have you any time studied this church? Apostle Paul never said a word about the music, about the number, about the many other gifts. He said, your faith grows exceedingly. And he said, you people are enduring in trials. And not only that, you know what Apostle Paul said? He was saying, brothers, keep it up. Your faith has got to grow more. It's like good teachers. When your children get 60%, a good teacher will say, good, but you can get 75. You can get 90. Brothers and sisters, have you endured trials? You got to endure more. Endure till the end. And that's what we should do when we come to the church. Yeah, all of us have got many trials. We should say, brothers, don't get discouraged. God will see you through. Yeah, sometimes I don't know why prayers are not answered for long. Some people are sick. Some people are still to get employment. And some of our brothers and sisters are not married for long. Don't lose faith. Say, God will see me through. Through it all. We used to sing a song, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus, I learned to trust in God. I want to say, brothers and sisters, let our faith grow and let it be strong. Let it bring joy to God. Let our faith bring joy to elders. I hope all of us will learn from Thessalonians and say, Lord, strengthen my faith that I will not only pass every test, I shall also encourage others. Brothers, hang on. Okay, that's number one. And you know, same verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Apostle Paul appreciated one more thing in this church. He says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. Number two, and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. I like that word. He looked at this church. And he said, you brothers here at Thessalonica, your love, you learned to love, and your love is abounding, it's overflowing. What a fantastic church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And what is he telling to them? And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. It's exactly like saying, you got 75%, you can get 90. Can you say, after I came to the church, I learned to love. I'm not waiting for anybody to come and visit me. I'm not waiting for anyone to come and give me some money. I learned to love the brothers and sisters. And my love is growing. My love is overflowing. Brothers and sisters, this is God's calling in James chapter 3 verse 12. Verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You know what is true holiness? See, in India we think, if you're not married, you're very holy. We think a sadhu means he's very holy. Some of us also is possible to have some crazy ideas like that. But true holiness is, you learn to love. Love and love and love and keep on loving. Be rooted and grounded in love and you overflow in love. Never mind if you don't have any gift to speak. You know, in this church, I don't hear much about their gifts. But they learn to have faith in God. They learn to love. And therefore, Apostle Paul appreciated them much. And again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And not only that, you know, when you love, you want to build others. You want to encourage others. You want to comfort others. And that's what this church learned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. I'll come to that later. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. This is an amazing church. They learn to encourage and comfort, build up others. Some of us have been in the church for long. You see, I've been in the church for 10 years. You think you're a senior. Fine. Have you encouraged others? Senior brothers and sisters? How much have you encouraged others? How much have you strengthened, comforted? You know, all of you young people, you may think you are young. You know, there are a lot of teens in the church. Struggling. Don't look for a ministry to come up here. Can I encourage some teens? You know, the teenagers are a very difficult period in life. They say that's one of the toughest. And they're going through so many struggles. All the teenagers think parents don't love them. They don't understand them. They're in a completely different planet. And you young people, maybe you are in your late 20s. Can you look around some teens? I say, Lord, I can't go and preach in the church, but I can encourage some teenager. Or I believe if you look for opportunities to encourage, there are so many opportunities. Are you unemployed, brothers and sisters? After the meeting, you can come and see me. I'll give you a ministry. You can have a ministry of encouragement. If you open your eyes and look around in the church, so many people have got so much needs. There are older people, some of them are sick. Maybe you are free, you can go and visit them. You can make a call. Oh, let's all be a church where we learn to love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you love one another, some of you say you want to be committed. Have you learned to love the brothers and sisters? The brothers and sisters are not perfect. Can you say, but I love them. I want to bless them. Oh, may God help us to love and abound in love and overflow in love. I'm really excited by that expression. Overflow in love. We want such brothers and sisters in CFC. There's a great need for that. And I hope you'll volunteer. I want to be a brother who can love and love more and keep on loving till the Lord comes. Okay. We want such brothers to be part of this church, to be committed members in the church. Okay. These brothers in Thessalonica, they were outstanding in their faith, outstanding in their love. And one more thing, they lived, they had great hope of the second coming of Jesus. You know, we are studying about them more than 2,000 years ago. And when Paul spoke to them about the coming of the Lord, they really believed that Jesus is going to come soon. You know, when I was small, I was going to a church. They would preach about the second coming in such a way, as though Jesus is going to come tomorrow. I think some of us, we feel the Lord's not going to come for a long time. I have a fear that some of us are taking it very cool. I want to say, brothers and sisters, we need to repent of that wrong attitude. Oh, I want to be ready. I don't know when Jesus will come. But I want to be ready when the Lord comes. And you know, some of them thought Jesus may come soon and probably they were not even working. So Paul had to write to them and say, no, you mind your own business, but in your heart, keep your heart ready for the coming of the Lord. For example, he, not only that, you know, in this earth, we all don't know how long we're going to live. I don't know when Jesus is going to come, but we can all die any time. I want to say this morning, if you die tonight, will you be ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? It's good to think about it. And if you need any help, stay back after the meeting and meet the brothers who can help you. You should be able to say, if the Lord, if I die tonight, I know I'll go to be with the Lord. Okay, you know, we have loved ones. Supposing, if it pleases the Lord, take our loved ones. I want to ask you, can you take it? Let's say, I don't know who, your love, supposing someone you love, they die. Yeah, we have sorrow. All of us are human beings. We have much sorrow. But some people, they cannot take it. They cannot accept it. I remember once, there was a young sister, many, many years ago. She was not that mature. Her mom became sick and she died. She was telling, no, I cannot live without my mom. I don't blame her. She was young. And, you know, therefore, Apostle Paul here, he spoke to them and says, chapter 4, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Yes, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow like the worldly people. We don't grieve without hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we believe that Jesus is going to come again when the trumpet will sound. It says, verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with the word. In other words, brothers, I want to help you this morning. Can you say, if the Lord takes one of my loved ones, I'm not going to grieve as the worldly people in despair, without hope. I have a living hope. My loved one is going to be the Lord. And when Jesus comes again, they will rise first. And we who are alive, we'll be caught up with the Lord. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, do you have this living hope? Is it just a doctrine? Oh, may God help us to be ready. Be ready in case you have to meet the Lord today. Be ready if your loved ones are taken away. And be ready to meet the Lord whenever He comes. Oh, I believe that's a wonderful thing to be, to live in such a way that I don't have any attachment to this world, that you're so free from this world, that when the Lord comes, like a rocket, you can be taken off, because your mind was heavenly minded, your mind was set on things above, your mind was not set on things of the earth, and that's the kind of people the Lord's looking for. Oh, may God give us grace to live in such a way that you can face any trial, you can face any situation, your faith will not waver. Okay. And one more thing I want to say. You know, this church, they had faith, hope and love. And this church, Apostle Paul not only loved them and encouraged them, this church encouraged Apostle Paul. What a blessed church. You know how Apostle Paul was encouraged by this church? They were steadfast. They stood firm in the trials. And Apostle Paul went and sent Timothy. And Timothy came and said, oh, all the brothers and sisters are steadfast. They are steady. They are not discouraged. What a fantastic church this is. And Paul says, like we already heard, in all our trials, we were comforted. Apostle Paul got tremendous encouragement when he heard the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica. They are wholehearted. They are not disturbed. They are not discouraged. They are not backslidden. I hope you will encourage your leaders. Hello. Are you with me this morning? Will you encourage the elders by your steadfastness, by your wholeheartedness, by your faithfulness, by your endurance, by your love, by your strong hope in the Lord? If you walk like that, the elders will be encouraged. Okay. And such a church, Apostle Paul wrote, he wanted to give them a good exhortations. He said, 1 Thessalonians 4:4, the will of God is Sanctification, be pure in the sexual area, don't be defiled. And then he also told them in chapter 5, verse 16 onwards, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul wanted Thessalonians to be joyful, to be prayerful, to be thankful, always. Brothers and sisters, this is what we preach. Can you say, after I came to the church, I become joyful? I feel sad when I see brothers and sisters heavy. I want to say, that means something is wrong. Learn from the Thessalonians. They were joyful. They received the word we heard this morning with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Lord wants us to learn to be prayerful. Pray and pray and pray and keep praying for many, many, many till the Lord comes. And be thankful. This is the mark of faith. You become joyful, you become prayerful, you become thankful. And then Paul told them, don't quench the spirit. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And we already heard, Paul also told them, your calling is to gain the glory of Christ. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I close with this, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. I want to encourage you, I want to give you some homework. Go home and study 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll be blessed, you'll be encouraged. And may God help us to follow that example. Amen.
I was blessed and encouraged to read and hear about this wonderful church. This church, which is so precious in the Lord's eye and also in the eyes of Paul. I was thinking, who was building this church? Suddenly we think, maybe Paul. But if you read in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. So it is such an encouraging thing to know that Jesus was building this church. Sometimes we may think that church means many number of people. You know, Jesus doesn't work like that. Yeah, of course, he is interested in the body. But he takes care of every member. He individually works with every member. When we think of our church, Jesus is interested in each one of you, and he wants to build you. Building the church means building every individual, and Jesus is interested in building each one of us. I'm encouraged to look at that way when I look at Thessalonian church. Definitely church would have been consisted of wonderful brothers and sisters, responded to God, and God was preparing a platform. So we read in Luke 1, where Mary said, God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich empty. This is true. This is a basic principle. As we heard from Brother Stephen, they were teachable because they were hungry. They longed to grow and to be set apart from the world. Like we heard from Brother Newton, this is the will of God, that our sanctification, God wants to separate us, make us holy, and make us stand to that calling. So Jesus said in another place, you search the scriptures, you think you have eternal life in that, but they bear witness of me. So when I read about Thessalonians, there is a testimony, there was a witness. I see that Jesus was building this church, and Jesus was building Paul also. We read that before Paul came, Paul had to go through tribulation and persecution in Philippi. We read that in chapter 2, verse 2. God was preparing Paul to meet these Thessalonians who were going through tribulation and sufferings. They were hungry because of their faith. They were going through the tough time. That time, God prepared. In fact, Paul writes that, I think in verse 5 and 2, verse 2 also, he says that, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, As you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid of much opposition. That means God was preparing Paul to meet these precious suffering Thessalonians brothers and sisters. So that shows me that when we think about our elders, think about Brother Zach, God was preparing Brother Zach in secret to help us all. One day, God knew that one day you all will be part here, and God prepared Brother Zach or our elders. When we spend time with them, we know that what and all they have gone through, how they stood strong in the Lord through opposition, persecution, difficulties, the reproach. So God prepared them so that they will minister to us. That's what I see here. Paul was prepared, and Paul and Silas came here with experience so they could speak and encourage them. So even Timothy also like that. Then later, there also they had opposition and went to Berea. We see. I was so encouraged by seeing this, and I want to be gripped by this. Jesus is building the church, and Jesus is interested in each one of us, and He wants to build us, and He will give us brothers and sisters whom He has already trained to help us. I'm encouraged by that. Amen.
The Thessalonians were a young church. This was, you know, when we read in Acts chapter 17, we read Paul, he came to a group of Jews, of God-fearing Greeks, and he was teaching them from the scriptures. He was teaching them that Christ had to suffer and to rise from the dead. It's a wonderful and healthy thing when wholehearted, sincere young people are taken up by the Lord. They may not be perfect or mature, but these young role models, as this Thessalonian church, Paul highlighted later in his ministry, he pointed out their love, their hope, their faith. And these young brothers and sisters, they were proof that God is working in a new generation. Then some trouble happened, some prominent people among them came to them, and the religious establishment started the persecution of these Thessalonians. In Acts 17 verse 6, we read a wonderful testimony about what happened there. We read that these men who have upset the world have come here also, and they act contrary to the decrees of the world, saying that there is another king, Jesus. That should be the testimony in our lives too. We should be able to proclaim this other king that has come into our lives, Jesus. It was a young church. Paul was hardly here for 1 month, and this persecution arose, and he was wrenched away from the church. He had to leave. He had to leave. He could not come back. He was so concerned about this church. He felt like a father and a mother to them. What could he do? He sent another young person, another young role model. He sent Timothy to them. Timothy came came back to Paul with this one thing. He came and highlighted that this church, their faith was growing. You know, we heard, who was building this church? Paul was not there anymore. God was building this church. And the mark that God was building this church was when they were alone, they responded in faith to God. In the midst of their persecution, they responded with faith towards God. I wanted to look at we heard so many from these brothers who spoke before. I wanted to point out what spoke to my heart, few areas, what was special about this church. Three things came out to me. First is, when they received the word from Paul, they didn't receive it as the word from men. If we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, "We constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." The Thessalonians were not trying to please Paul or trying to please any elder. They were primarily living before God. They were seeking the approval that comes only from God. And in this, they imitated the faith of Paul and Silas and Timothy. We heard how chapter 1 verse 6, Paul could testify of them, "You have become an imitator of us and of the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the word in much tribulation and with joy in your hearts through the Holy Spirit." There's a wonderful verse in verse 14. In chapter 1 verse 4. And I believe this is the essence of how the Thessalonians received the word. "Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in words alone, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." My brothers and sisters, when we sit here week after week, let us not hear a word from a man, but let's come to hear a word from God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts with full conviction, and we can see a transformation in our own lives. The second thing I'd like to see from the Thessalonian, learn from this Thessalonian role models, is that in their lives, it was marked with true repentance. True repentance. We read in chapter 1 verse 9, incidentally, this verse, Brother Zach says in Through the Bible, that this is one of the best definitions of what true repentance is. And it says that they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I've seen this when God calls us. It may not necessarily be physical or fleshly idols. It may be idols in the mind. It may be, as we heard, idols of comfort, of entertainment, of eating, or of money, of ambitions, of the hold that loved ones have for us. But when we turn from them, when we turn from them to the Lord, then he is able to do a true work for us. One personal definition of repentance in my heart God has given me is from John chapter 24 verse 15, where Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" And many times in life, God will ask us, "Do you love me more than these?" And when we respond to that, that shows us whether there is a manifestation of true repentance in our heart, a continual true repentance. The Thessalonians had it, and then when Paul had left them and everyone had left them and then they were alone, still they manifested that true repentance. And God could connect them to Jesus to receive grace. The last thing I want to point out is the Thessalonians were not mature. They were not perfect, but they were sincere and wholehearted. They came from a pagan culture. Paul had to remind them to keep their bodies in sanctification. Maybe they didn't have a perfect track record, but they were not double-minded. This is what they did. You know, I believe if you read in Hebrews 4:7, I feel this is the attitude that comes out from the Thessalonians. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." That was their desire. Today, God, whatever you speak to me today, I don't want to harden my heart. In Hebrews 4:16, it goes on to say, "Instead, I want to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that I can receive mercy and find grace in the time of need." Today, I want to have my confidence before the Lord. Today, if I fall or do anything, I want to come to God and ask quickly for his mercy, and I want to receive grace and find strength in the time of need. I want to just leave one thing with you. I believe these Thessalonians had this one motto. You know, in the pillars in the front, we see this poster which came from the summer camp that our young children had. And it says a verse there, Ephesians 5:10. I want to leave that verse with you. It says, "Trying to please Jesus in everything." In our version, it says, with the NASB version, it says, "Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." I believe that was the desire of the Thessalonians. They wanted to be connected to the head. They wanted, even if they are alone, standing alone, "I must be connected to the head, because through the head, through Christ Jesus, I will receive grace and strength to stand. Today I want to learn to try to be pleasing to Jesus in everything." I want to imitate this Thessalonian church in their love, in their faith, in their hope. I praise God for them. Amen.